Okay, I'm going to ask you then to please take your Bibles and open up, if you would, to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. I'll give you one more opportunity while people are looking. Anyone a word of testimony that you'd like to share? Okay, Colossians. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Amen. Obey the Lord.
I just thank the Lord I do have a job. You know, with me, no matter what job I choose to do. But this past week, I thought that I was going to a new job. And things just didn't.
From that which is wrong and that which is evil. And he places within us that inner voice of the Holy Spirit that says, you know, this isn't right. This isn't right. And that's kind of what the apostle is talking about. And as we go through this and we look at this idea of putting off the old man and the self-centeredness and the selfishness that comes with the old man and putting on the attitude of Christ and the Spirit of Christ, we find that when we work together with God by following Him and His plans, then He protects us, and so we don't wrestle against Him on things. And so I want us to kind of look at that. Paul has dealt with some interesting things in this church. He's reminding them that, you know, there are a lot of teachers out there that are infiltrating the church back in Colossae that are false teachers. And so he wants them to be aware of these kinds of things. And then he moves on and he talks about the vanity of human philosophies. And, you know, there's an awful lot of human philosophies and this whole mindset, well, you know, if it feels good, it's got to be right. You know, that whole mindset, which is anti what God has to teach. And so he doesn't want man to fall into those philosophies that are vanity and vain. And then he talks as well about how improper worship can negatively affect the body of Christ. And then we come to this third chapter, and I want you to notice as we begin this, what he has to say. He has just talked about this improper worship and freedom that man can have from the doctrine of men. And folks, there's an awful lot of man-made doctrine out there, and a lot of people that are getting taken in by this type of doctrine that goes on. And so Paul comes on then in this third chapter, and he talks about the position that an individual has in Christ. And so let's look, first of all, at these first four verses. He says this. He says, "If you then have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." And so he's talking here about our position as believers in Christ. And so he's trying to let these Colossian Christians know that, look, don't be so focused on the things that are here and following men, but instead keep your focus set upon God. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Look at what he says in that second verse, because he literally gives a command here. He says, set your mind on the things above. You are the only one that can control your mind. You are the only one. You can control your mind to the point that you are willing to submit totally to the direction of Christ and to follow Him, or you can set your mind to follow the ways of man and the ways of Satan. You can set your mind upon the truth of Jesus Christ, or you can set your mind upon earthy types of things. You have the authority over your mind. Paul said it like this: let the same mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so the control is given to us. And we can choose to be biblical thinkers, or we can choose to be self-centered. We can choose to be heavenly minded, or we can choose to dwell in the dirt of this world. We can choose to do things God's way and follow Him and follow His plan, or we can choose to stand up against God and say, I'll do it myself. And so Paul is trying to let these believers know, look, there's going to be a lot of teachings out there that are not proper and that are not right. And so set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. And then he speaks in the past tense to the living when he says, for you have died. For you have died. Folks, it's important that we understand when we give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, we die to our self-centeredness. We die to our passions in order that we might take on the will of God and the passions of God for our own life. It's important for us to get to that point in our lives. In fact, that's what sanctification is all about. That's what full yieldedness to Christ is all about. That Romans 12, 1 and 2 mindset. And then the exercising of the gifts. And this next Sunday morning, we're going to be picking up with that giftedness idea and how important it is in order for us to be able to really exercise our gifts. We must be submitted fully and completely to God. Otherwise, we just get in his way in what he wants to do. And so that's what Paul is trying to let these Christians know. He's saying, man, if you have been raised up with Christ, then keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, there's a blessing to that self-death. There's a blessing to that, and it's brought out in verse 4. He says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. You will be revealed with Him. If your life is hidden with Christ in God. Be cautious on what you allow to entertain your mind. Make certain that even when it comes to the issues of doctrines, philosophies, make certain that the doctrines, the philosophies that you embrace are fully biblical centered under the direction of God blessed by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you're just visiting vain philosophies. So be careful there. Now, Paul moves on to the way that we can have this biblical mind. Look at what he says, beginning in verse 5 and going through verse 11. He talks about the putting off. Look at how he says it. He says, now, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, we'll also be revealed with him in glory. Now look at this. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the blessings of God will come. Is that what your Bible says? If that's what your Bible says, trade her in and get a new one because it ain't right. All right? For it is on account of these things, immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, greed, idolatry. It's on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. Folks, God is a pure God. God is a God of morality in every aspect of life. He is a God who is pure in every aspect. And he expects his children to be pure in their passions. Don't ever excuse sin. Sometimes you have to address it. Sometimes you've got to deal with it. Don't ever excuse it. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. Now look at what he says. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Put off all of that that is evil and that is impure. Don't embrace it. Don't practice it. Put it off so that you can be blessed. Do you remember what the psalmist said if he tries to hide sin in his heart? What did the psalmist say? What's that? That's right. It's exactly what the psalmist said. If I hide sin in my heart, God will not hear me. That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. And that's the very thing that brought David around to repentance over his sin of murder, over his sin of adultery, the whole Bathsheba incident. What brought him around to true, genuine repentance was the realization that if he tried to hide that sin in his heart, God wasn't going to hear him any longer. If I regard sin in my heart, God will not hear me. Folks, don't embrace sin and sinful practices, because God will not hear you when you pray. It's an important principle to remember. So we have to put off the old man, the humility. The biblical picture here in the Greek is as a person changes clothing or changes outfits. You take off the old sinful and you put on the new righteousness. And that only comes about because your righteousness is not in yourself, but your righteousness can only come from the pure and the righteous Christ. You are to put on His image. Just like you change from dirty clothes into clean clothes, you put on the righteousness of Christ. How does that happen? By repentance of sin and receiving Christ and then walking in faithful obedience to God. Now, notice what he says third in this aspect of putting on. And in this, well, let's look at it. Verses 12 through 17. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, you know, God chose you to holiness. He chose you to be a holy people. And in fact, He commands it in His Word. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am a holy God. God has chosen you, not for His entertainment, but for His holiness. And to walk in that kind of righteousness and that kind of faithfulness. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, and there's that word let again. In other words, you have a responsibility here. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Now, you'll notice in that 17th verse, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. In other words, let the scriptures fill you. Let them be unrestrained in your life. Follow the teachings of Scripture. All right? He says, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching is revealing the truths of the Word of God. Admonishing means two things. It means correcting, and it means encouraging. Two things. Now, how people receive correction is up to them. But when you're allowing the Word of Christ to dwell richly in you as a part of the body, we are to make certain that our brothers and sisters walk in faithful obedience with the Lord. But the other side of that is, we have to hear them. And if we are wrong, we need to make those things right. If we are right, we don't back down. Follow God and His Word. Let that Word dwell in you richly. And you'll not go astray if you do that. And then he says, okay, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, with scripture songs, that's what the Psalms were. The Psalms were a songbook of the Jewish church. And in fact, even today, the Psalms is their songbook. Okay? And they were sung in their worship services. You'll remember we had talked about some of the Psalms, and you'll see those little words printed at the top, at the very beginning of a Psalm, that they'll say something like the Psalm of Ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S, where they're ascending. And literally those priests and the bishops and that kind of thing in the Jewish tradition, they would be climbing up to the holy place, to the holy area within the temple, and they would be singing those particular psalms as they ascended. A psalm of ascents. Okay? There were psalms of praise and that kind of thing as well. But there were psalms that were particularly sung in honor of God and in total respect of Him. And Paul says, that's all right. Let's do that. Let's admonish one another with psalms. And then he goes on, he says, and hymns. Hymns are not, I want to be real careful because I don't want anybody to misunderstand this. Hymns are songs that are written that are not the anointed scripture of God. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. You know, that's a hymn. Hymns declare the glory and the grandeur of God. True hymns are hymns that reflect who God is. They're deep in theology. They're deep in making you think. And that's why a lot of people say, we got to get rid of the hymns. Those boring old hymns, for crying out loud. What in the world are they? Man, that's an insult to God. It really is. Hymns sing of the glory of who God is and His attributes. All right? And then he writes in there, and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are those other types of songs. A lot of the contemporary music is spiritual songs. And so it's okay to do that stuff. But I'll tell you, when you start saying hymns are no good and spiritual songs are where it's at, you've got an issue. Even back in these days, Paul said, look, let's include every aspect of this. Let's sing the Word of God, the Psalms. Let's sing of the glory of God, the hymns, and who He is, and the grandeur of God's attributes and His character and His nature. Let's sing that. And then let's sing the spiritual songs, the things that God has done for us as individuals, for the grace that we have experienced. All of those things have their place. And so it's important that we realize that. And then notice as he says this, he says, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Are you thankful for what God has done? Now, I don't want to shock you with this, but you know God created music? I'll bet you didn't know that. Yeah, you're not a kid and praise the Lord. And God is the one who established singing in praise of His name. It's not something drummed up by man. And God inhabits the praises of His people. When we invoke the glory of God through thankful hearts, singing and praising Him, God draws close. Do you want to be protected in your life? put off the old man totally and completely. Put on the righteousness of God. Demonstrate by praising and worshiping Him. And He'll protect you. And He'll give you wisdom. And you'll not be misled. And you'll not be deceived. Because God inhabits the praises of His people. And God wants you to be protected from all of the onslaught that the enemy's throwing. Follow the teachings of Scripture, and God will bless your life. Would you please stand? Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help each and every one of us to become biblical thinkers. Father, don't let us listen to the voices of sin that try to entice us and draw us away. Don't let us listen to the words of discouragement and to the words of defeat, but instead let us be filled with the victory that comes from You. Father, don't let us listen to the false teachings of this world and those teachings that, Lord, have a ring of truth, but they're just out of tune. So help us to be wise in You. Help us to be discerners of right and wrong, of truth and evil. And Father, help us then to walk faithfully before You all the days of our lives. Father, we love You, and we thank You again for each of these who have come out tonight. Pray now that Your Holy Spirit will give guidance and direction and protection in this coming week, and will give You praise, for it's in Your glorious and holy name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus. Please give me a moment to get to the back so I can greet you.